بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. We continue inshallah now with a new chapter, still under the chapter of Salat, but a specific chapter here. It is the chapter of funerals, كتاب الجنائز. يقول رحمه الله: وَإِذَا تُيُقِّنَ مَوْتُهُ غُمِّضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ. If his death is ascertained, his eyes should be closed. Before we start with that, of course, if the person is dying on his deathbed, it is sunnah to turn him to the Qibla. And this is with the consensus narrated by An-Nawawi and others. And also, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith in Sahih Muslim, لَقِّنُوا مَوْتَاكُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Tell your dying ones to say لا إله إلا الله. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ الرُّوحَ إِذَا قُبِضَتْ تَبِعَهُ الْبَصَرُ. رواه مسلم. When the angels of death takes the soul, the eyesight follows it. So it is sunnah to close the eyes of the dead person as soon as he die, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he closed the eyes of Abi Salama and Sid, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the soul is taken away, the eyesight will follow it. He said, وَشُدَّ لَحْيَاهُ, meaning his jaw should be tied. His jaw should be tied with a wrapper or something, so his mouth does not fall open. وَجُعِلَ عَلَى بَطْنِهِ مِرْآتٍ أَوْ غَيْرِهَا كَحَدِيدَ. He said, rahmatullahi alayh, and a mirror or another heavy thing should be placed on his abdomen. Why is that? It is to avoid the swelling of the abdomen by placing on it something heavy, whether it was a mirror or something else, just to keep it down, doesn't swell and become big. Of course, what other things you should be doing for the dead? Of course, you should cover the entire body, unless a person died in ihram, of course. If relatives or friends, to uncover the head and even to kiss the deceased, they might do this, as Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they should start straight away the process of the funeral, the janazah, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Asri'u bil janazah, hasten with the funeral, quickly get the body to the grave." Some ulama did not like this matter of putting anything on his abdomen, and they said you should haste with the janazah. Very quickly. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إن حديث ذلك متفق عليه أسرعوا بالجنازة فإن تكو صالحة فخير تقدمونها إليه وإن تكو سوى ذلك فشر تضعونه عن رقابكم متفق عليه. يعني the Prophet ﷺ said, haste with the janazah. If it was good, it is good you are taking it too. So if the person is good and done good in his life, you are taking this body to a good destination. And if it wasn't, if it was, other than that, it is evil that you put down off your shoulders. Of course, if there is a reason or something necessary to delay the janazah for it, it is important to put it in the fridge and to keep it so you can keep the body intact, so it doesn't change. It doesn't change and start to swell and start to smell. So to put it in the fridge, it is important, as the fatawi of Al-Lajna Da'ima has confirmed that. Now, تَغْسِيلُ الْمَيِّتِ, chapter of, or subheader, which is washing the dead. He said, فَإِذَا أُخِذَ فِي غَسْلِهِ سُتِرَتْ عَوْرَتُهُ. Now he's going to tell us about how to wash the dead. When they start to wash him, his awrah must be covered, because his awrah, because of the sanctity of the body and the sanctity of the Muslim, and this is by obligation And the dalil is the consensus of the ulama about this. And the awra, respected brothers and sisters, is between the navel and the knee, which is the awra of the dead, between the navel and the knee. So it is haram for the one who is washing the person or others to look at the awra of a person, regardless whether he is alive or dead. As the Prophet ﷺ said in Hadith Sahih Muslim, he said, لا ينظر الرجل إلى عورة الرجل ولا المرأة إلى عورة المرأة. A man should not look at the awra of a man, and the woman should not look at the awra of a woman, another woman. He said, ثم يعصر بطنه عصرا رقيقا. Then his abdomen should be squeezed gently. Gentleness. So anything inside his stomach from filth or anything can come out. So it does not come out after the ghusl, because it could come out after the ghusl and spoil the ihram and spoil everything to close it. Here he said also, ثم يلف على يده خرقة فينجيه بها. Then the one doing the washing should wrap on his hand, should wrap his hand with the cloth and wash the private parts. Normally today they wear gloves, plastic gloves, thick plastic gloves, and he clean his private parts and you remove any najasa that is there. So here he said, "Nam," and without touching the awra directly, because the awra starts from 7 years old and over. And this is also with the ijma' of the ummah, that you do not touch the awra directly. You just wrap your hand with something and you wash the private parts with it. Then he said, ثُمَّ يُوَضِّئُهُ. Then he should make wudu for him. Because the Prophet ﷺ, when he told Ummu Atiyah, when they're washing the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, ابْدَأْنَا بِمَا يَمِينِهَا وَمَوَاضِعِ الْوُضُوءِ مِنْهَا. Start with her right and the right side of her and the places of wudu. And this hadith, مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. He said, ثُمَّ يَغْسِلُ رَأْسَهُ وَلِحْيَتَهُ بِمَاءٍ وَسِدْرٍ. Then he should wash his head and beard with water and grounded leaf of sidr, of the sidr lot tree. They used to use the sidr and still used as a sunnah. It's like soap, which is cleans the place. And the hadith here, Prophet ﷺ said about the man who his dabba, his animal, kicked him and died. He said, "Ukhsuluhu bima'in wa sidr." Wash him with water and sidr. And this is hadith muttafaq alayh. And Aisha radiyallahu anha, it's been narrated from Aisha radiyallahu anha. She said, when they wanted to wash the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they differed. They said, "Wallahi ma nadri kayfa nasna." We don't know what we need to do. Do we take off the clothing of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as we do to our dead, or we wash him while he's clothed on? She said, when they, فَلَمَّا اخْتَلَفُوا أَرْسَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّنَةِ. Allah, the Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent on him a sana, which is asleep. حَتَّى وَاللَّهِ مَا قَامَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنْ رَجُلِ إِلَّا ذَقْنُهُ فِي صَدْرِهِ نَائِمًا. And she said that not even one man from this group of people stood up. All of them, they sleeping with their bead on their chest, meaning their head is right down, full asleep. قَالَتْ ثُمَّ كَلَّمَهُمْ مِنْ نَاحِيَةِ الْبَيْتِ مُكَلِّمْ. Then from the near the house, they heard a voice. لَا يَدْرُونَ مَنْ هُوَ. They didn't know who he is. فَقَالَ اغْسُلُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَعَلَيْهِ ثِيَابُ. Wash the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with his clothes on. And this is specifically for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam because of his sanctity and sacredness sallallahu alayhi wasallam. فَثَارُوا إِلَيْهِ. They hasted to him. فَغَسَلُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَهُوَ فِي قَمِيسِهِ. They washed the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم with his clothes. يُفَاضُ عَلَيْهِ الْمَاءُ وَالسِّدْرُ. They will pour on him water and sidr. وَيُدَلِّكُهُ الرِّجَالُ بِالْقَمِيسِ. And the men would rub him from over his clothes. This hadith رواه أحمد and Abu Dawood, and the hadith is Hassan. And she also said in the end of this hadith a beautiful comment, which is we will use as a proof that a man can wash a woman and a woman can wash a man. Yani the husband can wash the wife and the wife can wash the husband. He said, لو استقبلت من أمري ما استدبرت ما غسل رسول الله رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا نساءه. She said, if يعني the time goes back, no one would wash the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم except his wives. Can we wash the dead with soap and shampoo or anything that can remove the dirt from the body? Yes, and it's actually preferred if the body is a little bit dirty and there is some blood that is hard to move with water and cedar and stubborn dirt, then to use shampoo and rub it out would be good and there is no problem, and it is actually preferred because it gives a better job and a better wash. ثم شقه الأيمن ثم الأيسر. Then should wash his right side and then his left. We start with the mayamin because of the hadith that we mentioned, Atiyah, and also then he said, Rahmatullahi alayhi, ثُمَّ يُغَسَّلُ كَذَلِكَ مَرَّةً ثَانِيَةً وَثَالِثَةً. He said, and then the entire body, yani after you wash the left and the right, this should be repeated a second and a third time. He said, now, يَمُرُّ فِي كُلِّ مَرَّةٍ يَدَهُ. Each time he should press the stomach with his hand. So here, every time he passes his hand over his stomach, he presses a little bit gently on the stomach and on his abdomen, so if there is any najasa, it can come out. He said, وَإِن لَمْ يُنَقَّى عَفْوًا فَإِنْ خَرَجَ مِنْهُ شَيْءٍ غَسَلَهُ. If any filth comes out from him, he need to wash it. وَسَدَّهُ بِقُطْن. وَسَدَّهُ بِقُطْن. Then he closed the... Then he should block the anus with the piece of cotton, so no more would come out, because the majority has come out already. He said, فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَمْسِكْ فَبِطِينٍ حُرٍ وَيُعِيدُ وُضُوءَهُ. If that does not stay in place, then with the clay, then he should repeat the ablution. So here he said, فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَمْسِكْ, meaning even after putting the cotton, still najasa comes out and the cotton come out. He said, you should use a pure clay, hur mean pure clay, not mixed with anything, to seal it fully, or any material that can seal that place fully so nothing would come out. And then he would repeat the wudu for the dead to make sure that he is clean and ready. Some group of scholars have said something. They said the wudu should not be repeated, because actually the ghusl is to clean him, not to make him pure. He's not going for salat. So it is to make, yani the ghusl, the purpose of it is to make sure that the body is clean and to clean the body, not to give him wudu for salat. Some ulama has emphasized on this, but the reality is we stick to what Ibn Qudama said, because it is better for the dead and more beneficial for the dead anyway. He said, وَإِن لَمْ يُنَقَّى بِثَلَاثٍ زَادَ إِلَىٰ خَمْسٍ أَوْ إِلَىٰ سَبْعٍ. He said, if the body is not clean and properly after three times, then he add five or seven, as long as they are an odd number. ثُمَّ يُنَشِّفُهُ بِثَوْبٍ لِأَلَّا تَبْتَلَّ أَكْفَانُهُ. He said, ثُمَّ يُنَشِّفُهُ بِثَوْبٍ. Then he dries him with a cloth, so his shrouds, his kafan, does not get wet. And this is with the ijma. وَأَنْ يُجَعَلَ الطِّيبُ فِي مَغَابِنِهِ وَمَوَاضِعِ سُجُودِهِ. Then perfume should be applied to his skin folds and the spots of prostration. So here, for the dead, it is mustahab to put perfume from a material called hanut, some type of perfume used for the dead. And usually it is the one they use for the dead, it's like powder, crushed pieces of perfume. It is like powder, which is min hanut, and it made specifically for the dead, and to be put in the places where the dirt sits normally, like, for example, under his armpits, inside his navel, under and behind his knees, and because he needs it in يعني more than the rest of the body. طيب. And also on the places of sujood, which is the forehead, the nose, the palm of the hands, the knees, and the feet, because they are honored places. Also, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said to put kafur on the places of sujood, and this is narrated by Al-Bayhaqi. وَإِن طَيَّبَهُ كُلَّهُ كَانَ حَسَنًا. He said, وَإِن طَيَّبَهُ كُلَّهُ كَانَ حَسَنًا, meaning if you put perfume on all over the body, it'll be good. It'll be good. Of course, the ulama also preferred that the last wash that you wash the body with, to mix the water with camphor, which is like a white powder mashed, like white perfume, like white pieces of perfume mashed, and it becomes like powder, and then it's mixed with the water, because the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith of Atiyyah, he said, وَجْعَلْنَا فِي الْغَسْلَةِ الْأَخِيرَةِ كَافُورًا أَوْ شَيْئًا مِنَ الْكَافُورِ. He said, put in the last wash camphor or something of camphor. And then he said, وَيُجَمَّرُ أَكْفَانُهُ. He said, the kafan, the shroud, to be, he should scent his shrouds with incense, with bakhur. To put the kafan, to put under bakhur, so it absorbs the smoke of the bakhur, and then the kafan would smell good. And he said here, as the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated in Imam Ahmad, and some ulama said it is shadh, and some of them, يعني, some ulama said it's hasan, and some ulama said there is shudhuth in it. But he said, فَإِذَا, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِذَا أَجْمَرْتُمُ الْمَيِّتَ فَأَجْمِرُوهُ ثَلَاثًا. When you do incense for the dead, do it three times. Now he's going to take us to another part, which is grooming the dead. He said, وَإِنْ كَانَ شَارِبُهُ أَوْ أَظَافِرُهُ طَوِيلَةً أُخِذَ مِنْهُ. He said, if his moustache or nails are long, you can cut them. Because to cut it in the dunya is mustahab. So also after dead. طيب. And here he said, and also some scholars said, if he has golden teeth, some ulama said it is allowed to remove it if it is not going to cause a big damage for the dead. Why? Because this is wealth, and the living is more deserving of the wealth than the dead. And this is, of course, يعني, Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen gave fatwa, it is allowed to do so. So it is to cut his nails if it is long, and if his mustache long, is to be cut. Now, I'd like to remind also the sisters about this issue, that the nail polish and the acrylic nails, some of the sisters who wash the dead, they said especially the acrylic nails, which actually prevent the water from coming to the nails, it actually cannot be removed until they remove the nail, all of it. So you are putting those sisters who are washing the dead in a very awkward position where they do not know what to do. If they were to remove it, they have to remove the nail, and that's mutilation to the body. That's a mutilation to the body. And is to leave it, the ghusl isn't complete. As you see, this is a dilemma that the sisters, and acrylic nails are not allowed because it stops the water. So how are you going to do wudu? Same thing with the nail polish. It is not as easy to remove it with acetone for the dead person. And this is what some of the sisters have complained, to warn the sisters in our lesson to stay away from this, because it becomes very hard to remove it, because the nails are dead and they cannot remove them that easily. So here he said, وَلَا يُسَرَّحُ شَعْرُهُ, and also do not comb the hair, because that would lead to cutting off the hair and pulling off the hair, and that is مَنْهِيَ عَنْهُ, that is rejected. مَنْهِيَ عَنْهُ. Why? Because that combing the hair, it will lead to pull the hair out, because the skin becomes weaker and loose. And here he said, it is and should not comb his hair. والمرأة يضفر شعرها. And the woman, a woman should have her hair braided. ثلاثة قرون, three different braids. ويسدل من ورائها and placed behind her. This here, Umm Atiyah said, when she washed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's daughter, they made ثلاثة أضافر, ضفرنا شعرها ثلاثة قرون وألقيناه من خلفها, متفق عليه. يعني we made her hair three braids and we put it behind her. Now we go to the chapter of the subheader of shrouding. باب تكفين الميت. What is the ruling of تكفين الميت? It is obligatory, a communal obligation by the consensus of the ulama. He said ثم يكفن في ثلاثة أثواب. And then the man should be shrouded with three. يعني three أثواب. بيض ليس فيها قميص ولا عمامة. White garments of which none is long shirt. Meaning long shirt down to the middle of the leg or longer. Or a turban. So this should not be in it. عائشة رضي الله عنها, she said, كفن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في ثلاثة أثواب. بيض ليس فيها قميص ولا عمامة أدرج فيها إدراجا. He said three أثواب. She said, يعني إن حديث عائشة رضي الله عنها said, the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم was shrouded in three أثواب, white, that it did not have قميص. القميص is what you could say like the Pakistani dress that comes down to the knee that they wear in Pakistani dress that come, that Pakistani qamis, the shirt that goes down to the knee, ولا عمامة, and there is no turban. And عليه الصلاة والسلام أدرج فيها إدراجا, يعني he was put in it. Here he said, in this hadith متفق عليه, and this is the best of kafan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chosen such kafan to his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is obligatory for the kafan to cover all the body. All the body. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, in Hassan isnad to him, in Musnad Abi Shayba, when he was asked about the kafan, he said, ثوب, three or five. And also it is been narrated that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, they shrouded him with two athwab. But the sunnah, as you see here, the Prophet ﷺ was shrouded with three athwab. Now, and also, very important point. Some people, what do they do today? They keep the ihram, and then they wash it in zamzam, and they keep it, and they say, we keep it so we can be shrouded with it. Of course, this is not from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. It also, it is not allowed to shroud the dead with ihram clothes unless he is muhrim. Yani only the person who is in the state of ihram is allowed to shroud him with the cloth of ihram, not to save it and then be shrouded with it. This is something very important. And the hadith also said, يُدْرَجُ فِيهَا إِدْرَاجًا, as here he mentioned rahmatullahi alayhi ibn Qudama, which is taken directly from the hadith. How is the idraj? The idraj here, yudraju fiha idrajan, you put the three shrouds on the table and you put the dead on them. طيب. The first one, the second one, and the third one, you lay them on top of each other and you lay the dead on it. Then you take the right side for the top one, which is on the right hand side of the dead, you put it over the dead. Then you put the left side of the cloth, of the thawb, over it. So again, you put the first shroud, the second and the third, and you put the dead on them. Then you bring the first one, which is on top, from the right hand side of the dead, and you put it over his body, and then the left. And then you do the second, the same thing, from the right side of the body, and then the left side of the body over it, and then the third one comes again, and the left side comes over them. And this is how, as what it says, يُدْرَجُ فِيهَا إِدْرَاجًا, this is the method. وَإِنْ كُفِّنَ فِي قَمِيصٍ وَإِزَارٍ وَلُفَافَةٍ فَلَا بَأْسٍ. He said, Rahimahullah, if he is shrouded in a long shirt which is we mentioned. Izar, the bottom piece that get wrapped around the lower half, which is what you call today the sarong. And a shroud, there is no harm. Here he said, there is no issue, but he prefers the preferred one that he mentioned, which is the first one. So to give him a sarong and to put him in a qamis, and then a sarong from under, and then you get one long one that covers the whole body with it. He said there is no harm in it. Why? Because Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhuma, in the hadith narrated by Imam Malik, يعني collected by Imam Malik, he said, الميت يقمص ويوزر ويلف في الثوب الثالث فإن لم يكن إلا ثوب واحد كفن فيه. He said, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhuma, he said, the dead, you put on him a qamis and an izar, and then he is wrapped with, shrouded with, a third thawb. He said, if there is only one thawb, would suffice to do, to shroud him with it. If there is only one thawb, then would suffice to shroud him with it, yani with one thawb, if you have, if this is the only thing you have. He said, if there is only one thawb, and that's the only thing you can have, then you shroud him with it, and that would suffice, inshaAllah. So Al-Bukhari narrated that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said at the time of his death, wash, اغسلوا ثوبي هذا وزيدوا عليه ثوبين فكفنوني فيهما. Wash my thawb, this one that he's wearing, and add to it two thawbs, and then shroud me with it. والمرأة تكفن في خمسة أثواب درع ومقنعة وإزار ولفافتين. The woman is shrouded with five cloths, a dress, a head cover bigger than a normal head cover, an izar, and two shrouds. So a dirع here is like a qamis. A dirع is like a qamis. So let's go into the explanation of these four different materials. A dirع is like a qamis, طيب, that she wears first. Secondly, al-miqna'ah, which is what the woman cover her head with, but it is a little bit wider than the normal hijab. Like a normal hijab, what comes down from the head down that she wears for her hijab. Izar, you know what is the izar, and lafafatain, two thawbs that she is wrapped with. Because Ummu Atiyah said radiallahu anha, فَكَفَّنَّاهَا, meaning the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ, we shrouded her, فِي خَمْسَةِ أَثْوَابِ وَخَمَّرْنَاهَا كَمَا يُخَمَّرُ الْحَيِّ, and we put khimar on her as the living would wear a khimar. This here, this part of this hadith of Ummu Atiyah, it's been narrated by many tabi'een, يعني it strengthened each other to make it accepted in this matter. Who is more deserving to wash the dead? Of course, in today, unfortunately, we turned away from this sunnah. لا هي يقول رحمه الله وأحق الناس بغسله والصلاة عليه ودفنه وصيه في ذلك ثم الأب ثم الجد ثم الأقرب فالأقرب من العصبة. يقول رحمه الله, for a man, the one who's entitled to wash, pray and bury him is the one whom he appointed in his will to do so. So the most deserved is, you have to have a wasiyah. And we said wasiyah is not only about money. Wasiyah is who washes you, who prays upon you. So you put in your wasiyah, there is someone in your family or someone you're comfortable with, then you put him in your wasiyah. Sometimes it's not the father. If your father, for example, far away from the deen, and he probably, if he prays on you, he brings a curse on you. So, probably your father, if a person is he's Shi'i, or if his father is a Christian, or his father is not religious at all, or he's Qawmi Suri or Ba'athi or whatever, then you don't want him to even come to your janazah. Here he said, وَأَحَقُّ النَّاسِ بِغَسْلِهِ وَالصَّلَاةِ عَلَيْهِ وَدَفْنِهِ وَصِيُّهُ فِي ذَلِكِ. His wasi. And then, his father, your father.
If there is no wasi, then it is your father. That is a haqq al-nas. Wal thumma al-jad, يعني your grandfather. Thumma al-aqrabu fal-akhar, then the closer and the closer. Meaning the brother, your son, or your close friend, يعني closest brother in Islam, min al-asabat. He said, min al-asabat, يعني from your family bloodline. Al-asaba is the closest kin and the family bloodline. So it's from your family. The dalil, because Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he put in his wasiyya that his wife Asma bint Umays to wash him radiallahu anha. Some of the ulama, they say that the marital contract between you and your wife, or the wife and her husband, is annulled by death. I mean, if a man washes his wife, what happens? He is, according to some fuqaha, he is washing a woman who's totally stranger to him. Araft? You see how some ulama look at it? But the dalil is overwhelmingly with the opinion that a woman can wash her husband, or the husband can wash his wife. And hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, when he said to his wife Aisha, what did he say sallallahu alayhi wasallam to his wife when she complained? He said, what was wrong if you die? Then I wash you. So here Abu Bakr, he put in his wasiya Asma bint Unais radiallahu anha. Of course, Asma, she was not his mother, nor his daughter, nor his sister. She was his wife. So here also, she took precedence over everyone else in washing him radiallahu anhu. And why Ibn Qudamah rahmatullahi alayhi said the father and the grandfather? Of course, because it is the issue of rahma ya shabab. The father, he covers up the issues of his son. And if he sees his son in not a good way, or some signs appeared, the father normally, he covers this. And also the hinniya, the love. He won't treat the dead like someone, a stranger, pushes him and moves him and lifts his leg. And no, he treated his son with love. So he slowly and carefully does the washing without harming his son, nor unnecessarily jarring and moving. And so that's why. And also, he does the satr cover-up. Ali radiallahu anhu, and also the ulama, they say, the issue of the asaba, the closest of kin, who washed the Prophet ﷺ, Ali radiallahu anhu. And it is, as you see, sunnah, that Ali radiallahu, the sunnah is the closest of kin, and Ali washed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, listen to the hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu that is collected in Ibn Majah. He said, غَسَلْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I washed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I washed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَذَهَبْتُ أَنْظُرُ مِنْهُ مَا يَكُونُ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ. He said, I went to see, in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what you normally see in the dead. وَكَانَ طَيِّبًا حَيًّا وَمَيِّتًا. And he is beautiful. طيب. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beautiful and nice while he was alive and when he's dead. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it doesn't change. You don't turn yellow like the dead turns yellow. Turn cold, and the hands turn, the fingers and the toes turn very, very yellow. And no, the Prophet ﷺ was tayyib, was fresh and nice, whether he is dead or alive, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he moves to وَأَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِغَسْلِ الْمَرْأَةِ, the most deserving to wash the woman, الْأُمْ ثُمَّ الْجَدَّةِ ثُمَّ الْأَقْرَبِ فَالْأَقْرَبِ مِنْ نِسَائِهَا. He said, The one most entitled to wash a woman is the mother, then the grandmother, and then the closest of kin of the related woman. Here he mentioned the mother. Of course, what about if she has a wasiyya? Does the wasiyya get fulfilled or not? Yes. But what about if her husband wants to wash her, can he wash her or not?
No.
Yes. Now, Then, if there is no wasiyah, then it is the mother. Then, the grandmother. Then, the closest of kin from the women. Sah. Now, the woman, the mother and the grandmother, if all of them want to, some people don't like to wash the dead, then we say, meaning, if the mother says, look, I can't wash my daughter, I'm barely accepting that my daughter passed away, I can't barely stand on my feet yet, you want me to wash her? It requires some people with strength, with a bit of iman in their heart to do that work, isn't it? Yani, if you're a father and your son passed away and he's in front of you and you want to wash him, sometimes your knees and your legs does not hold you. Here we don't say, oh, it's the sunnah, a'udhu billah, you have to understand it. Then we go to the grandfather. If the grandfather also his knees or he's an old man, we say, okay, who's the closest in the family? Here we also ask the brothers, if one of your family has passed away, which is your very close, someone from that asaba, from that the closest of kin should be present at the wash, the closest of kin. And also don't turn it to a riot when everyone wants to go inside. It's, for example, if a man dies, if his father cannot attend, the grandfather, if he doesn't know how to wash, but at least to be present at the wash. Here he said, إلا أن الأميرة يقدم في الصلاة على الأبي ومن بعده. He said, however, the leader is given precedence in a prayer over the father and those after him. Why? Because Al-Husayn bin Ali رضي الله عنهما أنه قال لسعيد بن العاص وكان أمير المدينة حين مات الحسن بن علي رضي الله عنهما تقدم فلولا أنها سنة ما قدمت. رواه البزار. What this means? He said that who prays on the father and the one who follows him, who does the lead the salat of al-janaza? He said al-amir. If there is an amir for the area, the scholar of the area, he is to lead the salat al-janaza. What is the dalil? Al-Husayn. Al-Husayn رضي الله عنهما. He said to Sa'id ibn al-As. And here Sa'id ibn al-As was the Amir of Medina. Of course, Al-Hasan, رضي الله عنهما, he said, when Hasan ibn Ali died, he said, تقدم, you lead the Salat. Who to lead the Salat? Sa'id ibn al-As. صح? He said, if wasn't a sunnah, I wouldn't put you to lead the salat. Because who's better? Sa'id ibn al-As or Hussein? Hussein. So he would have made the Hussein. He said, but it is the sunnah that you lead the salat. He said, باب الصلاة على الميت. The chapter of الصلاة على الميت. Of course, الصلاة على الميت is what, ya shabab? Fard kifaya. With the consensus of the Ummah. It is what? بإجماع العلماء. That it is a communal obligation. That the community must pray on the dead. Here he said, of course, before we go, what Ibn Qudama said, the Prophet ﷺ said, من صلى على جنازة ولم يتبعها فله قراط فإن تبعها فله قراطان. قيل وما القراطان؟ قال أصغرهما مثل أحد. صلى الله عليه وسلم. سيدنا حديث البخاري المسلم. Here he said, whoever follows a funeral procession and offers the prayer for the deceased will get one qirat. A qirat, a measurement of gold. Of reward. And whoever follows it and remain until the body is buried will get two qirats of reward. The least of which is equaled in the weight of Mount of Uhud. The least of the Mount of Uhud. To pray the janazah you get one qirat. And to bury you get qiratan. And here when Abu Huraira heard the hadith, he said that we have wasted so many qararit. Yani sometimes to take 5 minutes, if you can, to go pray on a janazah at least, you get a qirat of reward as a mountain of Uhud, And that can be handy on the Day of Judgment, right? روى مسلم عن ابن عباس مرفوعا ما من رجل مسلم يموت. شوف سبحان الله. مسلم رحمه الله narrated from Ibn Abbas. He said, the Prophet ﷺ said, now a Muslim man that he dies, فيقوم على جنازته أربعون رجلا لا يشركون بالله شيئا إلا شفعهم الله فيه. He said, not a Muslim man that he passes away. Upon his janazah, they 40 men, they pray. They do not associate anything with Allah except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he makes them, they are intercessors in him. So they will intercede for him on the Day of Judgment. Yani imagine on the Day of Judgment, you're guilty as charged, but 40 men who are righteous men, they come and they say, oh Allah, let us intercede in this man. Yani most likely that Allah will forgive you. See? So of course he said, لا يشركون بالله شيئا. They do not associate anything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani truly 40 righteous muwahideen to pray on that person. So that's why, ikhwa, if one of your brothers have passed away, gather up yourselves and go. Gather up yourselves and go and pray on him. Because we نحسبكم ولا نزكي على الله أحدا. We consider you as true muwahideen. So to go and pray on the person, maybe you can help him on the Day of Judgment, as the hadith clearly said. وَالصَّلَاةُ عَلَيْهِ. How do you pray? He said, the form of prayer on the deceased is as follows. He said, now, just before I talk about it, where do we place the deceased? Here, if the deceased is a man, he stands by his head. Meaning you put the deceased in front of you and you're standing towards the Qibla and the Imam prays right directly behind his head. If the deceased is a woman, then is in the middle of her body. So you face the Qibla, she is in the middle and in the middle of her body. Now if you're praying with multiple numbers, if the multiple, yani more than one janazah, if there are males, then you place them one after the other. You place the one who we think is closer to Allah than others. For example, if there is a scholar, or amir, or known da'i, or so, you pull him closer to the imam, and you delay the others. And you put him, one, two, three. There is a known alim of the area passed away, and there is normal layman passed away. Who do you put first towards the imam? Is the alim then? The layman, صح? And the imam stand next to the head, or yani behind the head. Now, if there is a man and a child, you put the man first and the child behind. If there is a man and a woman, then the closer to the imam is the man, and the one behind is the woman. And here, where does the imam stand? Still next to the head, not in the middle. Even there is a woman, but the one closer to him is who? The man. If there is man and a woman and a child, they put the closer to, as you stand in the salat, you see the khat in the salat, how you line them up, men, children and women? Exactly. Men is the closest, the men are the closest to the imam, the child and then the woman. Now if there is children and women, then you put the children, which is the male children, closer to the imam and then the woman. Clear? And he stands next to the head, let's say, a boy who hasn't reached puberty, 7-year-old, and a woman. We put the 7-year-old closer to the imam, and the imam stands next to his head, and the woman behind, and they pray salat al-janazah. This is how it is. Of course, where the problem starts from, yani, at the washing, some that like to play Quran, all that is not from the sunnah. And some they stand while the washing, wahiduh, and khalas, mahuwa, he's dead. Now, when they carry the janazah, also when they carry it to pray on it, now from there to the burial, we'll talk about it in the next lesson. Of course, it is the sunnah to carry the janazah. There is no issue to rush and carry the janazah. There is no issue to try to carry the janazah. Well, it becomes an issue when everyone, sallallahu alayhi rasul, wahiduh, and everyone got his own. He wants attention, he starts screaming. No, yeah. Just carry it and put it there. And the imam stands to pray the janazah. Now, salat al-janazah has no iqamah. has no iqamah. And alhamdulillah, for all the janazat that I've been to here in Sydney, even though there are some innovations, but I've never heard somebody made an iqamah until Allah wanted to show me before I die somebody made an iqamah. He's a South African sheikh. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. He made up his own, even his own iqamah. Look, people get innovative and they like to do new things. So yes, some people that just have fannaneen, the artist. He failed at school in the art subject, so he wants to become artist inside Islam. Oh, yeah. Salat al-janaza is a ibadah. The form and the how and the method we do it is what? According to the Prophet. He said here he said, of course, Salat al-janaza is the simplest salat. There is no ruku', there is no sujood. Here he said, rahimahullah, وَالصَّلَاةُ عَلَيْهِ يُكَبِّرُ وَيَقْرَأُ الْفَاتِحَةِ. And salat on the dead, you make the first takbirah, you raise your hand, Allahu Akbar, and you read the Fatiha. You read the Fatiha. Abi Umama bin Sahl, he said, the sunnah in salat al-jana'iz, this is collected by Abdul Razak al-Nasai, he said, أن يكبر ثم يقرأ بأم القرآن, to make takbir and read with the mother of the book, which is Al-Fatiha. ثم يصلي على النبي, then he makes salat upon the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. ثم يخلص الدعاء للميت, then he makes sincere dua for the dead. ولا يقرأ إلا في التكبيرة الأولى, and he does not read except in the first takbira. ثم يسلم في نفسه عن يمينه, then he makes taslim with no loud voice on your right. Let's explain. He said, يُكَبِّرْ وَيَقْرَأُ الْفَاتِحَةَ. He makes takbir and he recites the Fatiha. Now, can we read a small surah? Some ulama allow. Yani you read the Fatiha and a small surah. Some ulama have allowed it. Others, they said, no, only the Fatiha. ثُمَّ يُكَبِّرْ وَيُصَلِّي عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. Then he makes takbir and he read the salat upon the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, which is, what do we call it? Ibrahimiyya. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. And so you read that. Of course, the hadith of Abi Umama that we mentioned. Thumma yukabbir. Then he makes another takbir. Now, there is a dua that is prescribed. It's a long dua. If you don't memorize it, then we will read throughout what you should say. He said, ويقول, اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وانثانا. This is a translation. I'll take it part by part. Let me read it all in Arabic, then we go in English. وأنت على كل شيء قدير. اللهم من أحييته منا فأحيه على الإسلام والسنة. ومن توفيته فتوفه عليهما. اللهم اغفر له وارحمه وعافه واعف عنه. وأكرم نزله ووسع مدخله واغسله بالماء والثلج والبرد ونقه من الخطايا كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس وأبدله دارا خيرا من داره وجوارا خيرا من جواره وزوجا خيرا من زوجه وأدخله الجنة وأعذه من عذاب القبر ومن عذاب النار وافسح له في قبره ونور له فيه. He said, rahimahullah, this here is narrated by Abu Dawud. The translation, then he makes takbirs and says, oh Allah, forgive the living amongst us and the dead, the present and the absent, the young and the old, the male and female. For verily you know our return and abode. And you are the most capable of all things, oh Allah. As regards whomever of us whose life you extended, make him live by Islam and the Sunnah. And he whom you cause to die, let him die on them. O Allah, forgive him and bestow more mercy on him and spare him all punishment and pardon him and make honorable his dwelling and make spacious his entrance and wash him with water, ice and snow, and purify him from his sins, as you purify the white garment from filth, and give him instead of his house a house better than it, and instead of his company one that is better than it, and a wife better than his, and admit him into paradise and protect him from the torment of the grave and that of hellfire, and make spacious his grave and make light therein. Now, there are a few points. What about the issue of the wife? Taib, here the dua, it sounds like to whom? A man. But what is a child, and doesn't have a, of course, a child doesn't have a wife, nor a woman. And what about if he is below the age? Meaning, the pen hasn't been written on him. Of course, the dua is a matter of ijtihad. The matter is what? Of ijtihad. There are other ad'iyah where, for example, in this dua, you could stop at, for example, here at forgiving the sins if he is a baby. And you can exchange it with
Ibn Qudama rahimahullah said in the Mughni, وَإِنْ كَانَ الْمَيِّتُ طِفْلًا جُعِلَ مَا كَانَ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ لَهُ, meaning if the deceased is a child, then instead of istighfar, because he has no sins, he said, اللهم اجعله فرة لوالديه وذخرا وسلفا وأجرا, اللهم ثقل به موازينهما وأعظم به أجورهما, اللهم اجعله في كفالة إبراهيم وألحقه بصالح سلف المؤمنين وأجره برحمتك من عذاب الجحيم وأبدله دارا خيرا من داره وأهلا خيرا من أهله ونحو ذلك. Here he said, I'll translate, اللهم اجعله فرة لوالديه, means, O Allah, make him a reward that preceded them, or an intercessor for them. Also, ذخرا, meaning an intercessor, and accept his intercession, as Ibn Hajar rahimahullah said about, as Imam Ibn Hajar said about ذخرًا, and also وسلفًا, meaning a reward that has preceded them, وأجرًا, and a reward. And اللهم ثقل به موازينهما, O Allah, make their scales heavy, and because of their calamity, of course. وأعظم به أجورهما, O Allah, multiply and glorify their reward. اللهم اجعله في كفالة إبراهيم, O Allah, put him under the guardianship of Ibrahim. وألحقه بصالح سلف المؤمنين, and let him join the salaf of المؤمنين. وأجره برحمتك من عذاب الجحيم, and protect him with your mercy from the torment of fire. وأبدله دارا خيرا من داره, and give him a new dwelling, better dwelling than his dwelling in this dunya. وأهلا خيرا من أهله, and a family better than his family. So this dua to be said if the deceased is a child. Also to take the, for example, if there are two, for example, a male and a child, you make the dua for the male and then you add the dua for the child, which is اللهم اجعله فرة لوالديه وذخرا وسلفا وأجرا, اللهم ثقل به موازينهما وأعظم به أجورهما, اللهم اجعله في كفالة إبراهيم وألحقه بصالح سلف المؤمنين, and so the dua.
If she is a woman who passed away, instead reading the dua in a masculine, you read it in a feminine. صح؟ And that's why if you notice in the haram in Mecca and Medina, they say, As-salatu ala al-rajul yarhamukum Allah. You hear it? Why? So you know what dua you are making. Male or female. صح؟ You see, that's why they announce it. And because in Mecca and Medina, the big masajid, not like here, only the family and friends come. Over there is thousands and thousands of people, Allahu A'lam, who's the din. So that's why they announce for you to alter your dua. Now, as for a zawja, what do you replace it with? Here, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, in the sharh al-mumti'a, أي سواء كان المصلى عليه رجلا أو امرأة. طيب, he said, regardless, you say the same dua, but of course you change it from feminine to masculine or masculine to feminine accordingly. But وَخَيْرِيَّةَ الزَّوْجُ هُنَا لَيْسَتْ خَيْرِيَّةَ فِي الْعَيْنِ يعني بَلْ خَيْرِيَّةَ فِي الْوَصْفِ. طيب وهذا يتضمن أن يجمع بينهما في الجنة لأن أهل الجنة ينزع الله ما في صدورهم من غل ويبقون على أصل ما يكون والتبديل كما يكون بالعين يكون بالصفة. Here he said وخيرية الزوج here a better husband or a better wife. When you say the dua for women وأبدلها زوجا غير خيرا من زوجها and give her a زوج a companion different a better astaghfirullah better than a male companion that she is with in this dunya which is her husband. Here Al-Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayhi and it's a strong point. He said it's not to change the person and get a new person. He's talking about a different trait, meaning make her husband a better husband that she can rejoin with him on the day of judgment. You see, so here he says Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayhi said it is the change of the trait of the person, not the person himself. But for a male, there is no problem. Neither is her and Hur al-Ain. You see? But for the female, he said, he becomes a better person. Meaning change his traits to become better traits. And he's a better person, so he can rejoin her in the Jannah. You see? So not that's why you do not need, what we understand, you do not need to omit this section from the dua, you read the dua all of it. Now, another point, can I read it in English? Wallah, I memorize it in English, I cannot memorize it in Arabic. We say, Salat al-Janaza, according to the principle we learned long time ago, is it an obligatory Salat or a Sunnah Salat? Obligatory is it or sunnah? Sunnah. If it is sunnah, we said you can use different language than Arabic. But its obligation has to be Arabic. Everything, even the dua. And that's why the dua in the sunnah salat, of course, it is not all the time English. It is until you learn another 50 years. No, يعني you just converted to Islam or you just become a little bit religious. You can't read the Arabic or you can't memorize it. You just do the English until you learn Arabic and then say it in Arabic. So it is temporary. It's not for good. So when someone asks, Sheikh, can we make dua in English? We say, yes, it is temporarily until you learn Arabic. Of course, in the preferred, extra, supererogatory salat, not in the obligation. Obligation or Arabic. Here the hadith, of course, to make ikhlas for the dua. Now, ثُمَّ يُكَبِّرْ وَيُسَلِّمْ تَسْلِيمَ وَاحِدَ عَنْ يَمِينِهِ. Because of the hadith, he said, then you make takbir, and you make one takbir and taslim on the right. One taslim. Now, can we make second taslim? The ulama differed. They say you can make some ulama second taslim. The correct opinion is one taslim. Can we make more than one takbira? The companions have made more than... Can we make more than four takbirat? The companions radiallahu anhum, at some instances, they were recorded to do more than four takbirah. There are some of them, they did more than four takbirat, but what the ulama agreed upon after that, or the ulama agreed, and we don't say ijma', the ulama agreed, it is to stop at four, and we don't add more than four, and that's ويرفع يديه مع كل تكبيرة. And he raises his hands with every takbir. Why? Because Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, he used to raise his hands with every takbir. I know there are some mashayikh, they say you don't need to raise it, except only the first takbirah you raise your hands. But Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما was authentically narrated to him that he used to raise with every takbirah narrated by Bukhari Mu'allaq. يعني narrated by Bukhari, but it is not from the core of Bukhari. It is as a header, meaning Yeah, when we say mu'allaq, it hasn't reached the conditions of Bukhari, but still authentic. Right? Still authentic. طيب. والواجب من ذلك. Now, what is necessary from that? He said, والواجب من ذلك التكبيرات. يعني what is necessary to do is the takbir. The takbir means to make the four takbirat. Meaning, let's say you didn't raise your hand and you said, Allahu Akbar, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. That is accepted or not?
Yes.
And this is with the ijma. And then he said, wal qira'ah. Why qira'at al-fatiha? Because Prophet ﷺ said there is no salat accepted without the fatiha, and this is agreed upon. Was-salatu ala al-nabi. And some scholars said the salat is sunnah, because in the noble salat, the tashahud in between, is it sunnah or not? Yes. Yani if someone who does not know the salat al-nabi, or he forgot it, is salat accepted? We say it is sunnah, and you may start on as طيب. And the minimum dua that you can for the dead. Yani even if you say, oh Allah forgive me, that is the minimum, your salat is correct. The minimum is salat is correct. And then wassalam. The minimum is to make one taslima. Why? Because the Prophet always continuously made the taslim. Now, want me to continue or what? What about, just quickly, if you entered the masjid and they halfway, what do you do? Of course, normally as soon as the salat al janazah, you get swamped with people and you get pushed and shouldered and everything. What do you do? Like, he made the first takbirah, second takbirah. Yani he read the fatiha and Allahumma salli al-Ibrahimiyya. What do you do? You entered, what do you do there? You join with the fatiha. Yani say Allahu Akbar, and for you, you start with what? The fatiha. Now, do I continue? If the imam made taslim, we say continue like you do with the normal salah. طيب. But if you got pushed and shoved and you couldn't continue for some reason, we say khalas. Yani if it's got cut off, you see? Because it's not an obligatory salah. But you need to continue by yourself, even if you are by yourself. Because you know, as soon as it's finished, they straight away pull the dead, they won't let you. We should just continue and finish the salah because you started. Now, is there a dua afterwards? As they said, they raised it, there's no dua afterwards. You just take the dead to the burial ground, and that's it. Some they stand and they make dua, and a pretty long dua. Of course, unfortunately, we like to make things more emotional. So, yeah, I need to look more that they've done something for the dead. Well, it is as simple as that. Wash, shroud, bury, finished. But we like to spice up things sometimes.
Is there an opinion where there's after the fourth takbir, there's a dua for the general message of the Muslimin after dua bin Mayyid?
Yeah, no. The brother is asking, is there another opinion? Yes. There is, of course, another opinion that says, you make the first takbirah, you read the Fatiha. A second takbirah, al-Ibrahimiyya. The third takbirah, dua for the dead. The fourth takbirah, dua for the masses of the Muslims, and taslim. You see? There is an opinion followed by some ulama. And ya akhi, this is a matter ijtihadiyya, there's no problem. Yani, even let's say you made that dua, there's no problem. But this is what is narrated by Abi Umama, the hadith that we narrated. But as I said, it's the whole thing is what, ya akhwa? It's sunnah. Sah? And the door of sunnah is what? It's open, not rigid and closed. You see? And I'm trying, I need to summarize the issue. Here he said, وَمَنْ فَاتَتْهُ الصَّلَاةُ وَمَنْ فَاتَتْهُ الصَّلَاةُ عَلَيْهِ صَلَّى عَلَى الْقَبْرِ إِلَى شَهْرٍ. He said, Rahimahullah, we just do this and stop. He said, he who misses the prayer for the deceased may pray at his grave for up to 1 month. Meaning, let's just say you were overseas and one of your closest friends or brothers passed away and they prayed on you. You came back and they already prayed and buried you. Can I go to the grave and pray Salat al-Janazah upon him? He said, Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, yes. طيب, what is the dalil? Here the dalil that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed upon Sa'd. As the hadith narrated, as the hadith was narrated in the Tirmidhi, in the Tirmidhi, and this is mursal, but the ulama accepted that the Prophet ﷺ prayed. And also the Prophet ﷺ prayed upon the woman that used to clean up the masjid. She died at night, and the companions did not inform the Prophet ﷺ, and they buried her. The Prophet ﷺ went and prayed upon her inside her grave, himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here he said, the dalil, it is 1 month. Yani 1 month and one day I cannot, and 1 month and one less, yani 1 month and one day I cannot. It's only strictly 1 month. Here the hadith on Ummu Sa'd that the Prophet ﷺ prayed on her and she's been buried for a month. And that's why Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah derived that up to 1 month. In reality, there is no proof for the time limit. There is no proof for the time limit. Some ulama said because it is most likely the body hasn't deteriorated yet. Right? It remains sort of in its shape for at least a month and hasn't deteriorated, whether you're now praying on bones or praying on other things. Some group of scholars said it is mutlaqan, absolutely. Anytime you just go pray, if you did, pray on them, and this is even after years. The issue of, here he said, وَإِن كَانَ الْمَيِّتُ غَائِبًا عَنِ الْبَلَدِ صَلَّى عَلَيْهِ بِالنِّيَّةِ Salat al-Ghaib, we'll leave it for next week inshallah, because it requires some discussion, and the Salat on the Shaheed and not, we'll leave it for next week inshallah. We'll stop at this and take questions inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.